Now, last year alone, Wisconsin lost 10% of the state's dairy farms, leaving just over 7,200 in the state. Years of low milk prices have given many small dairies few options beyond selling their herds. The Wisconsin Farmers Union says we could stop the damage and decrease dependence on federal subsidies by implementing supply management. And the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation approved a statement at the end of 2018 saying, quote, we are willing to consider a flexible supply management system. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you or did you used to be a dairy farmer? How have you seen things change over the years for better or worse? What changes would you like to see that you think might help the state's dairy economy? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Darren Von Ruden is a dairy farmer from Westby and president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
And Joe Breiger runs a farm in Buffalo County and is the president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ron. Very happy to be here today. Thank you.
Before we get to the idea of supply management, I want to get each of your takes on the state of dairy in Wisconsin and the challenges facing dairy farmers. Joe, let's start with you. What are you seeing out there?
Well, let's start a little bit quick for some of the things that we can celebrate. You know, when we look at Wisconsin, and you look at the farms out on the landscape, Wisconsin is home to 1,200 licensed cheesemakers. In the state of Wisconsin, we make over 600 types and varieties of cheeses. And one of every 4 pounds of cheese consumed in the United States comes out of Wisconsin. Those are certainly some amazing feats. When we look at dairy from a national perspective, I believe 2018, we had a 56-year high in domestic consumption and record exports. This year, we are approaching a 60-year high in domestic consumption. And just looking at the reports that came through the other day, we are at, we're going to surpass 2018 in exports. So we have a lot to celebrate, but we also have to have a lot to consider. You know, on the start of the program, it was mentioned the number of farms. In 2003, we had 16,000 dairy farms here in Wisconsin. That number has dropped to below 7,000 where we stand right now. So certainly our farmers have had 5 very tough years, followed by COVID, which has really hit. And when we look at really talking about farmers having a seat at the table, think of how disheartening it would be for how much effort our farmers put into producing healthy and nutritious dairy products to not be able to sell them, to have to dispose of dairy, milk, while consumer shelves were empty earlier this year. So we do have some inelasticity in our dairy system that we need to look at. And definitely our farmers have been struggling for a protracted period of time, and we have much concern.
And Darren, I know part of the concern you have at the Farmers Union in particular is concerns over overproduction of milk as you see it. How is that contributing to the challenges facing especially small to mid-sized farms?
Well, it adds to the economic hardship that's out there. When you have an oversupply of any product, the prices usually drop to below what production costs are. And so as farmers are trying to stay alive, they're continually strained in that process of trying to raise their income. And so having some form of supply management that can keep supply and demand in balance would stabilize those prices. It's nice. As an organic farmer, we have a stable price from year to year. It might go up a dollar or down a dollar year to year, just depending on consumer demand, but at least we can budget for what our next year looks like. And in the conventional side, you know, we just don't see that. When you have swings of $10 to $12 in a six-month period, it's really hard to budget for the next year and even look ahead.
Can you introduce us to this idea, Darren, of supply management for dairy? What would that look like in practice?
So, you know, there's a lot of talk and a lot of knowledge of what the Canadian supply management program looks like. We would probably have something similar, but not the exact same thing. Canada has a quota system that even their farmers are saying is getting outdated. It should have been updated decades ago already, because it's getting too pricey for farmers to continue buying into the program, or even new farmers getting into that. We'd probably be looking at like a base program, so each active farm at the date of its inception would have a base. And, you know, you would have your 30 cow operators, you'd have your 3,000 cow operators. But we would work so that if there's an increase in consumer demand, which we've seen a 2 to 3% growth on a yearly basis for the last 30 years in this country. So looking at that 2% growth, that would be divided equally amongst the active producers. Or if we wanted to make sure there is an avenue for new farmers to get into the dairy industry, allow that 2 to 3% growth to come within the new producers that are there. One of the things that will always be a stress on that scenario is just the genetics that we have in animals, and then the food that we feed them. We seem to be able to see those increases, to keep those increases that and meet that demand just within that itself. So looking at future plans, we'd certainly as an industry have to work together to make sure that we have possibilities for new producers, but also allow current producers to continue at their same levels that they're at.
Now, Joe, I mentioned that Farm Bureau Federation statement saying, you know, willing to consider a flexible supply management system, not rejecting it, not necessarily embracing it wholeheartedly. Where are you on the idea of supply management for dairy?
Well, let me go back a little bit. You know, this is something that has been debated by our delegates for as long as I have been involved, you know, with Farm Bureau. If I go back 25 years ago, the question was whether or not to support a quota type system. And I remember one of our farmers, Ron Tushner, getting up and speaking out against it wholeheartedly. That in America, everybody should have the right to succeed and everyone should have the right to fail. Last year was somewhat of a historic year. You know, first of all, it was 100 years for our organization, but the delegates did approve. We support research and development of a dairy growth management and other systems that provide increased dairy industry stability and producer profitability. And subsequently, the American Farm Bureau delegates approved. We support a flexible farmer and industry-driven milk management system, and we are opposed to a mandatory federal quota system. So there's a long history of these discussions. However, last year the delegates did approve the concept of research and development. And, you know, we're going to see here in about 10 days. I would never speak to my, you know, for my delegates. I am so proud of the Farm Bureau organization, the way they bring resolutions from the county level and bring them up to the state, that I really look forward to the debate again this year and see what direction our delegates give us. So I look forward to that.
Talking to the presidents of two Wisconsin farming groups, Joe Brager with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, Darren Von Ruden with the Wisconsin Farmers Union, both farmers themselves. And we're talking about the idea of some kind of dairy supply management system. Let's go to your calls at 800-642-1234. Nate is with us in Cross Plains. Nate, hello.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate you having these two gentlemen on. I come from a dairy family that been connected to dairying for 110 years. There unfortunately has been a continuous history, as the Farm Bureau representative said, of farm people not wanting to have any restrictions. But the consequence of that is now dairying in Wisconsin is entering into a phasing out of the industry. When you lose 7,000 or more dairy farmers at in a short period of time, going from when we had 30,000 farmers down to the much smaller number we have today, you're threatening not over the farming as a way of life and all the effects that that has on farm people, but also the economy of the state that ripples out of that. All of the small towns supporting industries, businesses, etc.
So,
Nate, I'm going to jump in because we got two guests and not a ton of time, but a point taken. Darren, I know you're concerned, as Nate is, about the effect, if we lose those local dairy farmers, even if we're producing as much milk, about the impact it could have on a local rural community. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, well, certainly looking at how those dollars are distributed within those communities, when you have the small dairies and the family farm dairies that we've been accustomed to in the state, most of those dollars get spent locally. Now, when you see farms that are being owned by out-of-state ownership, or even, you know, family farms that have grown to, you know, 3,000-4,000 cows, have immigrant labor as their major source of labor, you know, how many of those dollars actually stay in that local community? We're seeing from the reports that we've got that a lot of those dollars don't actually stay there. That farmer is probably banking with a bank out of state. Their employee base sends those dollars back to their home countries to support their families there, and or they're just doing their grocery shopping in the Walmart that's two or three communities away sometimes. So how much of that money actually stays in the community from that growth with the size of the farms is really the big question.
Thanks for that call. And Joe, briefly before we take a quick break, your thoughts on that idea of if we're losing these smaller dairy farms, these local ones in some areas, and concentrating more, the hit that rural communities can take. Can you talk about that a little?
Well, certainly that there's a major concern for our rural communities. You know, dairy, we are the dairy state, and dairy certainly has been the prominent feature of many of our communities and the support that comes along with it when you think of the dollars that have turned over. So definitely, whether it's Farmers Union, Farm Bureau, or any other organization, we definitely are concerned about our members and are trying to get them to a place where they can be profitable and proud members supporting their communities.
Talking to Joe Bragger, a farmer in Buffalo County, president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, and Darren Von Ruden, dairy farmer from Westby, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Talk about the idea of dairy supply management and how it could impact Wisconsin dairy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a current dairy farmer? Are you out of the business? Or were you driven out by the economic conditions? What changes do you see needed? What do you think about this idea of some kind of supply management system? Call in now at 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We pick up our conversation with Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Von Ruden and Wisconsin Farm Bureau President Joe Bragger, both farmers themselves. We're looking at the idea of dairy supply management, what it could mean for farm operations here in the state. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Dave is with us in Prescott. Dave, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Say, I heard about the supply management system, and I think that's a baby step. I think that family-owned farms have been, well, since I was in my mid-20s in the 80s, when there was Farm Aid, and friends of mine were farmers, and their farms went out of business. And it was all because they couldn't make any money or sustain because the prices were so low, whether it was milk or other dairy products. And I think that it's time to put a cap on production. And I guess you would call that a quota system, similar to what Canada has. Their farmers are much healthier as an industry than ours are. And as the state of Wisconsin, you know, as someone said, 25% of the cheese in the nation comes from Wisconsin, and those two industries are tied. And I think that we have the clout that if we go to a quota system here, that'll affect the nationwide farm price.
Dave, thanks a lot for that call. I want to ask each of you, start with you, Joe. You mentioned your members, to the extent they're open to the idea of supply management, they don't want it coming from, say, the federal government. Who would be, I guess, the decider when it comes to managing supply, at least from what you've heard from your members?
Well, and I have to be clear, you know, when you say open to the idea, you know, again, our language reads that we support research and development.
Right.
And that's as far as that goes. you know, but also you have to look at the broader industry as a whole. You know, our federal milk marketing orders, we've got many members involved in those discussions. As of late, the producer price differentials have hit us. And so I can't say enough, you know, Darren, the work their group is doing, our farmers on the Farm Bureau side that are engaged in these discussions. Zippy Duval, the American Farm Bureau president, just recently put out a letter that farmers need to be at the table. And I think that is the beginning of any progress, is farmers coming together, discussing the issues, working through what, you know, different ideas and putting it out on the table and trying to make a change. You know, a farmer gets up every day. He loves his land. He loves the water, takes care of the animals with the ultimate goal of being a proud member to be able to support their community. And again, I'm just so proud that this discussion is going on.
And Darren, the Farmers Union, I know more into the idea of supply management. Who would be the decider? Who would you see being in charge of setting the production maximums and things like that?
Well, it would be a joint effort of the whole industry. So, you know, looking at farmer representatives, processor representatives, certainly have to have some government involvement there, especially when you're looking at trade deals and how international trade happens. Canada has a system of, you know, getting together quarterly within that group that are appointed by their processors and the farmer members themselves. So it's going to have to be a joint effort because just the dairy farmers can't do it, just the processors can't do it. And we certainly don't want the government to do it for us. You know, farmers are really asking for more of a voice in our futures than what we've been able to have over the last five, 6 decades.
Here's a question from Paul in Lincoln County. Paul says, do we have an unofficial cheap food policy in the country that's made us too used to low food prices and meant production has had to be so high? Let's throw that at you, Darren. Throw that at you first. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, certainly looking at how, especially the subsidy world in agriculture has been lately, you know, it seems like we want to get the price of our food down to zero. There's absolutely nothing in this world that is absolutely free. So we have to figure out how to make sure that the part of the consumer dollar that the farmer receives is greater than what it currently is and what it has been for probably the last 2 to 3 decades. Looking back to the 1980s, dairy farmers received about 45% of the consumer dollar. Today, we're under 16% that dairy farmers are receiving. So where did that 30% of the consumer dollar go when you look at the profit margins of some of the larger processors in the country? We can certainly see where that's went. You know, and that's another reason why we need to get to a supply management mechanism that allows more discussion between the farmers and the processors so that we can continue to pull some of those dollars back to the farm level.
And Joe, what are your thoughts on that question from Paul about cheap food in the United States, maybe keeping up production too high?
Well, certainly, I think Darren touched on the percentages, and that's something I think of a lot of times. We operate on very slim margins, and when I started farming, those margins were 30% or greater. That, you know, for every dollar you moved off the farm, you kept that much on to take care of the farm, to do the upgrades, the maintenance, and the improvements that are needed to take place all the time. If we go to where we are now, those margins are well under 10%, and in the last few years, they've been negative. So certainly that has a great impact on that farm's ability to be profitable. But in all of this discussion, I think something that we can't leave out is the consumer and how, you know, how do we increase profitability on the farm? What programs are available? What systems and improvements need to be put in place while still protecting our consumer out there from severe price increases?
We'll leave it there for now. Joe, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron.
And Darren, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
We've been talking to Darren Von Ruden, dairy farmer from Westby, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and Joe Bragger, runs a farm in Buffalo County. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, two big farm groups here in Wisconsin. And we talked to them about the idea of dairy supply management in Wisconsin and around the nation. One solution being offered and promoted by the Farmers Union in particular to the problem of fluctuations in dairy prices, low dairy prices, driving a lot of Wisconsin dairy farmers out of the business. If that's you, if you have a story to share about being in dairy right now or being driven out of it over the last decade or two, we would love to hear from you. Send us an email at ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. And let us know what's happened and what kind of changes you would like to see in the future. Again, email ideas@WPR.org.